And hello there, I'm Mary Angus. Charlie Nardozzi is the gardening expert that we seek sage advice from each week. Charlie, listeners have so many questions for you. I hope you're ready for another lightning round of garden questions.
Oh, sounds perfect. Lightning round Q&A for June.
Okay, let's get started. First up, Kate. Kate writes in to say, my lilac bush developed a strange issue last fall where the leaves appear brown and burnt. Kate writes, I was hoping it would recover this spring, but unfortunately looks like at least half, if not the majority, of the lilac bush is dead. Kate writes, I was wondering if there's anything I can do to help it at this point. Do you have any suggestions for revival or care?
First of all, you want to deadhead those spent blossoms. But if you're seeing dead branches this spring, what you can do is cut back those dead branches and to try to stimulate new growth. And what will happen is you get sucker growth coming up either from the root system or from the lower parts of those branches you've cut. And that will hopefully rejuvenate the plant so that next year you'll have some nice plants and nice flowers.
And another lilac question from Ellie. Ellie writes in to say, in my neighborhood anyway, all the lilac blossoms were already turning brown as they started to blossom. Ellie writes, they faded in a few days with only a hint of that lovely lilac scent. What gives?
Well, blame it on the weather, right? That's what all gardeners say. All that wet weather we had in May, that cool temperatures, you see a lot of diseases attacking plants, not just the leaves, but the flowers. And it happened with lilacs, too. I did hear that from a few other people, that the flowers would brown out pretty quickly. And also the scent thing. That was kind of new to me. I hadn't heard that. So I think it's just the weather. Hopefully next year, it'll be drier.
Chris and Jay in Chester wrote in to say, I've never been able to grow large-sized rhubarb. The leaves grow to 5 or 6 inches in size. The stalks are red in color, short and thin. What am I doing wrong? My neighbors have huge rhubarb plants.
What you can do is make sure they're in full sun. Make sure they're in well-drained soil. I once tried to grow rhubarb in clay soil. Did not like it. I put it in a raised bed. It just took off. And then add lots of compost, organic matter, composted manure. Keep them well watered the first year, and you're going to have huge plants by next year.
This next one, Charlie, from Diana in Essex. Diana writes, we have a mature Bally sour cherry tree and 2 5-foot sour cherry bushes. This spring, they all develop brown rot. Diana writes, they are presently defoliating. Last year, we did not get any cherries, but they did keep their leaves. Diana writes, I thought it was due to weather-related issues last year. Do you think it can be saved?
Yeah, those trees, especially the Bali, I grow that one too, and I noticed this year, it looks very sad. There's a lot of leaves that are wilting and dying on it. It's very susceptible to diseases. I've noticed that about this variety in particular, and the bush cherries too. So you'll see branches dying back and leaves dying. So the best thing to do in that case is to make sure you prune it so that it's open. The tree is open or the bushes are open so you get good air circulation so it dries out quickly in the spring. Clean up any of those dropped leaves and any fruits if you do get some fruits so you don't have that inoculum on the soil. And if you do want to spray, there are some organic sprays you can try. Early on, before it leaves out, you can do a copper spray, and then afterwards, maybe after blooms, the blossoms have dropped, you can do a sulfur and a kaolin clay mixed spray. You probably have to do it on a regular basis, but those can act as preventive sprays against these diseases that are there. So they're not going to do anything for your disease that you already see now, but for new growth that's coming out, it'll protect it.
Next up is Margot. Margot writes, I just started a vegetable garden in my backyard. I'm having problems with ants. Margot writes, they've decimated an entire row of radishes. They're building ant hills around the radishes, chewing the plants down. I've tried liberally watering the rows, spreading borax around the plants. Nothing seems to keep the ants out.
Well, most of the time, ants are not a problem in our garden. They're just out there doing their thing. But if they are going after seedlings like your radishes, there's a few things you could do. You could use different kinds of home remedies. Some people have tried cinnamon, citrus peels, vinegar, mint oil, things of that nature, diatomaceous earth, which is really sharp. But of course, when it rains, it kind of mushes out, so it doesn't have a long lasting effect. You can move your radishes and your little seedlings somewhere else and plant something different in that ant area that they may not like a mint plant or like some alliums, onions and leeks and things of that nature. See how that goes. And also amend the soil heavily with some compost. Make it so it's not as attractive for them to be in their garden.
And one last question. Lori in Williston says, I have a rose mallow plant with tiny bugs with red heads and black bodies that love the leaves of this plant. They leave the rose itself alone, but they do a whole lot of damage to the leaves in a very short period of time.
Well, my guess is that it's a sawfly. probably the hibiscus sawfly, because the mallow is in that hibiscus family. They're small little caterpillars you see on the undersides of the leaves. They'll skeletonize those leaves as they're feeding. I see them on roses, hibiscus, mallows, anything in that family, you'll see them. The easiest thing to do is, if you don't have a big plant, is to hand pick them. Just check under those sides of the leaves and just squish them as you go through. You can try sprays like soap, insecticidal soap, horticultural oil. If those two sprays don't work, you can try one that has spinosad in it. The only thing you have to be careful with this one is, even though it's an organic spray, it can be toxic to bees and pollinators. So you want to spray it late in the evening, after those bees and pollinators have gone home. Once it dries on the plant, it's not as toxic to those pollinators.
You can write to us at gardening@vermontpublic.org. Listen to this wherever you listen to podcasts. And thanks so much, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary. And I'll be seeing you in the garden.